Hi, it's me, your mom. Hey, kids, go to bed. Bedtime.
And it's me, your stepmom.
You have more fun at her house.
Either way, keep your children away from us.
Content warnings are in the episode description.
Yeah.
Welcome to I Seduce the Dragon. This is the Dragon Fight Part 3. And something came up. There's a bit of housekeeping because something came up last game that I think we need to resolve here on the podcast. And that is a bit of a debate about what exactly Tori's body count is.
This is very important. Yes. This is very important.
This is vitally important to know. Was this, you were talking about the body count scorecard before. Was this what that was?
No. The body count scorecard is the number of Duergar that you versus Martha have tossed off of the dragon.
Versus this is the number of people that Tori has slept with over the course
has
of our campaign.
Has smashed. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So the debate was, did he or didn't he? With Pepper, which should be something that I would remember considering I'm Pepper. I went back, though, because I had recorded that session. Well, I went back and I recorded almost up to the session. We got to the point where you guys came back with your treasure. Christina says Tori wants to very hornily return the lantern to her. But before I could get to the point, you know I would have you explain exactly how you hornily return a lantern.
That's just good sex talk. And I'm an expert.
There's a lot of implication. There's some winking involved.
Absolutely.
Some intentional and meaningful hand touching.
Pectoral flexing?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All of the above.
He seizes every opportunity to do the pectoral flexing.
Don't we all?
We do not have any definitive proof whether or not it happened. So, my ruling as DM is that it did, but Tori must now roll for performance.
Oh, snap.
With or without advantage, are there any modifiers?
If you want advantage, you're going to have to tell me why.
Ooh.
I mean, have you seen him?
Not enough.
This is an audio medium.
That's just his straight roll.
I would argue that the party just successfully brought back a very sentimental item of Pepper's.
Yes.
They had gone through great hardship to get it. I believe he was still kind of covered in blood at the time, which can be very sexy depending on the situation.
Okay.
Dana's making a face, but clearly.
I'm not sure I would find that sexy either, but.
Maybe I'm talking to the wrong crowd. I don't know.
I'm not going to kink shame that, but.
I've got my red wings.
The question is Pepper into it?
Is Pepper into it?
Let's see.
She's rolling for it. I do feel like I need to at this point say that I am the D&D group's resident asexual, so this is very funny for me.
Because you are the horniest character.
And you play it really well.
Horniest character, least horny person in real life.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you're very good at it, I have to say.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Being horny comes naturally to you.
Aw, thank you.
And you put up with a fan contribute to our general filth. So
happy to be here. Happy to be on the team.
As it happens, Pepper is into the bad boy covered in blood look.
Hell yeah.
So go ahead and roll performance with advantage.
Yay.
I shouldn't have said anything.
16.
With a 16, Pepper will remember you fondly.
Nice.
Thank God that's settled.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll never see her again. Who knows if we're ever going to go back to that town.
Welcome back to I Seduce the Dragon. We have Christina playing Tori Cole. We've got Dana playing Gentry Rose Bittercreek Dumont. We've got Philanders playing Martha Sinclair and Ryan Keeley playing Erastus Brainerd the 12th. Currently engaged in a fight with a dragon, which hopefully will frickin' finish.
Just like Tori did all over Pepper's area.
Area.
To recap, you are fighting a dragon right now, entirely made of Shardolin, and thanks to all of your efforts, it looks incredibly weak at the moment.
Ooh.
Tori and Martha are riding on top of it. On the ground, you have some allies, kind of, in Riverdance and her sidekicks, the Joshes. Mm-hmm. Gentry is fighting an enlarged Duergar in the street, and Erastus is...
sniping.
You're sniping. Yes, you're dishing out healing.
Yeah, he's doing some healing quite well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all around you, this area of town is completely ablaze. So, when we left off, Gentry Rose had just taken a devastating hit from the Duergar she's engaged with.
Yeah, I did take a devastating hit. I am down to one hit point.
It's Tori's turn.
Okay.
You are astride a flying dragon.
I am. I've strapped myself to one of the handholds the Duergar were using to get about, and I am poised with my short bow, and I'm going to once again fire upon the dragon's head.
Go for it.
That'll be a 27.
To hit?
To hit.
As you fly, you lose a crossbow bolt, and it slips between the scales. And you hear a zap and a pop, and almost like it short circuits. The dragon convulses and is now falling like a stone.
Martha, we gotta go!
Oh, I'm... for the bees, and then I float.
See you, Tori.
Yeah, I may have wrecked myself because I can't jump off the dragon right now.
Who's up next?
In hindsight.
When it falls to the ground, I'll tell you right now, you're all going to have to make a dexterity saving throw to avoid being crushed.
Okay. I'm down for that.
All of us?
Except for Martha.
Thank you.
I will use my final spell slot to cast Healing Word on Gentry, and then I would like to mirthfully leap as far as I can away.
Aww.
So you go ahead and roll a d4, Ryan.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And then I would like to mirthfully leap as far as I can from the crashing dragon.
When he comes close to the ground, we'll go ahead and let you roll the leap and see how far you get.
How far away am I from Tori?
Let's call it 20 feet.
I'm going to try to run to grab Tori and use my short sword to cut him free because he's tethered to the dragon, I believe, also.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
That's right.
So that we can just float down with my magical cape.
You are basically climbing across the scales of this dragon
mm-hmm.
to reach your friend because you can't fly fast enough. You get there, you got to grab him and draw your sword and cut it. So there's a chance that you missed the rope.
And then I just stab my best friend and then watch him fall to his death tied to a dragon. I shouldn't have said that.
Let's just do a dexterity check. Let's do dexterity DC 10.
Okay, this is fine. That's a 6.
Wow, love it.
Nice, great, awesome.
Martha, you deftly climb across the dragon. You mm-hmm. secure your friend, your best friend, Tori, in one arm. You pull your sword out and you try to hit the rope. Your leverage is terrible. You can't get a good angle to cut it in two. You're fumbling with the rope.
I'm just staring at you like, just go.
I mean, I have a second attack.
Yes, one more. Oh my God, it's a 9.
It's a 9.
Oh my God.
Oh,
this is embarrassing now.
I blew my load on that dragon.
Mm-hmm. The dragon's falling to the ground, and hanging from it by a little thread is little Tori, and clinging to little Tori is little Martha.
But I'm still hanging on to him because I feel like I can at least stop some of the damage by like...
Yeah, you've got a lot of armor and all he's got is devilish good looks.
Oh, I just meant by like keeping him out like slightly above the wreckage.
I can also float. I have a floating speed of, I think it's 10 feet oh. because of Erastus. I'm just currently tethered to a dragon. So momentum says I'm going down.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Sorry, bestie.
You got a minute to think about that while Gentry takes her turn.
The Duergar is still technically alive, right?
Yes.
Okay. I still have my spiritual weapon out.
Yes, you do.
So I'm going to spiritual weapon him real quick to, I hope, finish him off. It's a 24 to hit.
You strike him fiercely with your spiritual weapon and he goes down.
Great.
Yay.
A happy man.
Okay. I actually will dash and I'll go a solid 60 feet away. towards where I guess Erastus went.
Go, don't.
Yeah, I'm clumping. I want to thank you for healing me, so I'm chasing you, saying thank you.
Nope, no touching.
Thank you, Erastus.
No touching.
Clumping.
You've made a narrow escape because just as you dash out of the way, the dragon crashes down. Martha and Tori, roll constitution saves.
Okay. Not a dexterity save.
How's that going to work?
I jump at the last minute.
Yeah.
You're tied to a rope.
I know.
Hey, Christina, don't get mad. I just got a natural 20.
Oh, my God.
And she's back.
This is going to be a lot of fall damage. I got a 14.
Oh, I'm going to roll 10d6 falling damage.
Oh, no.
It'll be fine.
Tori, take 32 points of damage.
This is actually the first damage I've taken in this fight.
Oh, my
God. So I'm okay.
Hi, I'm Dawn Brody, a comedian with a history degree and the host of the podcast HILF. History I'd Like to Fuck. Each episode, I am joined by a new guest who has brought me a subject from history that they want to know more about. Then I hit the books, I dig deep in the annals, and stimulate. We've covered Frankenstein, Houdini, Joan of Arc, Pompeii, the Salem witch trials, right? Ugh. Join us and find out for yourself that history is a party and everybody's coming.
The dragon crumbling as it falls, chunks of Shardolin are flying off of it, and it's making this horrific grinding noise. It smashes into the ground and slides down the street. Not crushing Tori, but he definitely takes a lot of shrapnel while he's along for the ride.
Yeah.
Martha, you're protected by your armor, so you're not taking any damage from this.
I'm still holding on to my best friend. Obviously.
The dragon slides to a halt, but just before it stops, the rope snaps and the two of you tumble free.
I pick myself up out of the debris of the Shardolin dragon. Are there any remaining Durgar that were inside of it?
Yeah.
Or are they all dead now?
Doesn't take a perception check to see them opening the hatch and evacuating.
Okay.
Can I snipe them?
Sure. I'm going to go Tori, then Erastus, then two Duergar, and that will be the order. Tori, you see the Duergar starting to escape.
I shout, keep at least one alive, and then I am going to draw my magical short bow again, and I am going to just try and start picking them off. 21 to hit.
Ooh, one of them goes down.
Do I get my action and my bonus action? Because I would like to crossbow and then crossbow.
Yeah, you do.
Oh. That's a 10.
Well, that sailed wide. You want to try with your extra shot?
Yes. Aw, 7.
Aww. Two of the other Duergar are going to go invisible. So now you can only see 13.
You know I'm going to try and back up my bestie. And they're running away, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to javelin.
Okay.
Ooh.
There we go, 22 to hit.
You throw your javelin at a retreating Duergar and you skewer it against a wall.
Nice.
Two of the other escaping Duergar will trigger their own ability and go invisible. There are now 10 you can see.
If they keep turning invisible, this is going to become a problem. So I think that I am going to stow my short bow for now, and I'm going to start running at the closest one I can see.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to run up on whichever of these guys I can and then try and grapple them to the ground.
Okay. Let's do a grapple.
All right. Tori's ripped. Tori's jacked. He's bleeding heavily.
Which makes him slipperier.
But he did get a 22.
Mm-hmm. It's an 18 for the Duergar.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
You pick up speed, charge at this retreating Duergar, leap cat-like, which is a were-tiger has become second nature.
I pounce.
You pounce.
I do the little, like, wiggle a little bit as I'm calibrating, and then I pounce out.
Aww.
And you got him pinned.
I'm going to use a cantrip to acid splash.
Oh, yeah.
At two that are near each other.
Okay, dexterity saving throws for those, so let me roll that. Okay. That's a nat 1 and a 14. You demolish one of them with your acid. The Duergar that you acid splashed is screaming and melting in front of your eyes.
Oh, what a world. What a world.
After that horrifying sight, two more Duergar going invisible. There are now six that you can see and one pinned by Tori.
I'm gonna try something. I'm going to cast Sending to Sagan.
Hey there, Sagan. It's me. It's Gentry Rose, your new Aunt Gentry.
Oh, Lord.
Auntie Gentry here.
It's 25 words.
It's Auntie Gentry. Your dad's cool. Where you at? You go to Bryn Shander?
You hear a response.
My dad's not cool. Yeah, I'm in Bryn Shander, but don't tell him.
All right. So I'll do my spiritual tits, one of the little Druugars that are still running around.
Your ethereal wrath, knocking into retreating Duergar.
That's why they call them knockers.
Sounds like one of my old feature dancing shows.
It's 19.
19 to hit. What's the word I'm looking for?
Jugs.
Incorporeal jugs.
My incorporeal jugs, yeah.
Bludgeon the Duergar with a holy fury, and he goes down.
Awesome. Are we about ready to get out of here? Are they still running around?
There are five left. You can see they're all retreating, terrified.
I mean, I've got one.
You've got one captured, though.
I caught one.
It's Martha's turn. You could just let them go.
I think I'm just going to go recover my javelin because I don't have any other ranged attacks.
You use your movement to march up to the Duergar pinned to the wall and get a good grip on that javelin, pull it out, and his body slides gruesomely to the ground. You got your javelin back.
Whee.
As you survey your surroundings, there are people helping each other to their feet and assessing the damage. Buildings everywhere are burning. Almost all of them are totally destroyed or partially on fire, except, strangely, for one, it's a bakery.
Oh.
The baker is out front, handing out cookies as a refreshment. The cookies all have the number 7 printed on them.
A post-dragon attack refreshment.
Mm-hmm, yeah, some juice and cookies.
I mean, it's like a sandwich after sex.
The baker walks, approaches you all and says, would you like some cookies? We aren't going to be selling these today.
Are they going to make me jizz my pants?
We have to say to the podcast listeners, that's a valid question because every time this has happened before, Jess said the cookies made us nut.
He winks at you and says, if you're lucky.
I just snatch up a cookie and shove it in my face.
Do you want to roll Constitution to see if you can hide the effects?
Why would I want to hide the effects?
Can I
roll for performance?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. I have a +6 with performance. 14!
Respectable.
Yeah.
When you eat the cookie, you suddenly feel warm. Very warm. Hot. Your pulse begins to race, but you, Erastus, are not surprised because you know this feeling. You are suddenly overcome by a thrill that courses through your entire body, and for a moment there is no sight, there is no sound, only sensation. When you come to your senses, you feel stronger, wiser, leveled up. You are now level 7. What does everyone else see when this happens to you, Erastus?
Because I am so used to feeling this sensation, all they can see is maybe a slight hardening of the nipples and a twinkle in my eye.
I imagine Tori can recognize what's happening.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I've seen this up close and personal before.
Do I wink at Tori? I might wink at Tori.
Oh, Tori's very popular lately. Would anyone else like a cookie?
Yeah, I'll take a cookie.
Yeah, I'm getting a cookie.
I know what's going to happen. So I go ahead and kind of like turn around a little bit and I eat it, but I kind of do just like a...
God.
I'm classy, you know?
You sound like a locomotive.
Yeah, I do.
I was about to say, I don't want to be mean, but for some reason that reminded me of the noise my cats make before they throw up.
Yeah. Well, that's why Gentry doesn't really have a lot of girlfriends or partners. You know, one of the reasons.
Martha eats the cookie. Jess, you can tell me what to...
Tell you what happens to you?
Yeah, what happens to me? Do I have to roll?
Does she effluviate?
Roll constitution.
11.
You eat the cookie. Not bad. Then you fall to your knees in the street.
Oh, no. Oh, goodness.
Fall back, flat on your back. You are helpless, completely stunned until the effects wear off.
That's a hell of a cookie. And then everyone hears me think, I wonder if I can get another one.
I would like to restrain the Durgar so it can't get away.
All right, tie him up. How did this episode get so horny?
Natural 20.
Shut up.
I wish I was kidding, but I did in fact roll a natural 20.
It is an I seduce the dragon tradition that anytime you tie someone up, you roll to see how sexy it is. And it just so happens that Tori always seems to roll really, really well.
He's good with rope, what can I say?
So, yeah, this Duergar is in an elegant knot by the time you're done with him.
And that's not even talking about the ropes. I'm sorry, kill me now.
But you know what? He's comfortable somehow. You're just so good at tying rope.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to cut off the blood flow. It's very important.
No. Knows the pressure points. Yeah.
He's
careful with his rope bottoms.
Yeah.
He checks in.
Yeah. In fact, with a natural 20, you tie him up and he struggles. And then he's like, oh, actually, this is kind of comfortable. And he gets all settled in and he's calmer than he was before.
Great. Very good.
Do you just Shibari swaddle this Duergar?
He's in subspace, okay? We're not kink shaming.
After the Duergar has learned some things about himself, I will go and I'll retrieve my cookie.
Okay. Would you like to roll constitution? How would you like to react to this happening?
Yeah. Unlike Martha, I do remember what's going to happen. And I feel like I'm not in really the mood. I'm bloodied. I'm not feeling great. Would I try and restrain myself or would I just nut? I think I'd just nut. I don't try. I don't try to restrain myself. I'll just eat it. I just shove it in my mouth.
Just put it in your mouth. Your motherfucking mouth. We're all grown. We pay taxes.
And what happened, Tori?
At the risk of making sex noises and then being mocked like I mocked Dana, I'm just going to say that... I just say that he lets out a vigorous grunt, and that's about it.
I want to hear it.
Yeah, I do too.
One solid grunt.
And what's that sound like?
Yeah.
Grunt for us, Tori.
You're a voice actor.
Oh, God, don't bring that upon me. Dang it. I got the giggles now. Hold on. That's it.
That's perfect. Perfect.
One solid grunt. That's it.
That's perfect. Actually amazing. Yes.
It sounded angry.
No notes.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course he's an angry comer.
Thank you. Ryan's feedback on that meant everything to me, actually. So thank you. So we've all eaten our cookies. We're all level 7 now. Huzzah!
You are. You are indeed.
Guys, I'm excited. I got a new thingy. The aura of alacrity.
Ooh.
I now emanate an aura that fills me and my companions with supernatural speed, allowing us to race across a battlefield in formation.
Formation?
Uh-huh.
Like the Blue Angels?
Yeah. I was thinking Beyonce, but either one. And in addition, the walking speed of any ally who starts their turn within 5 feet of me increases by 10 feet until the end of that turn. It's very exciting.
I could go so fast.
Yeah, we're never going to see Tori again.
No, yeah. I'm just going to... Mew. And I'm gone.
You basically Naruto run at all times.
Absolutely, I do. Hands flapping behind me. So I will return to the Duergar that I have tied up, and I will heft them off the ground.
Oh, crap. I gotta find the kid, though.
Oh, by the way, your kid's in Bryn Shander.
Wait, how do you know that?
I can send messages to people, whoever, at any point. It just only has to be 25 words, and they can be wherever in the whole universe. So I messaged, hey, hey, kid, where you at? He said you suck or something like that, and that he's in Bryn Shander.
Why does the kid hate you now, Tori? Or Data.
Oh, no.
Gendry.
Oh, no, he likes me. He said Tori sucks.
Yeah. Oh, that makes so much more sense.
He loves his Auntie Gendry.
Auntie Gendry. Has he called you that?
No, I call myself that to him. I'm trying to endear myself to him, and I, you know, Uncle Erastus.
See,
poor kid can't get a fucking break.
So he's fine. I think he was fine enough to say, my dad sucks. My dad sucks.
I feel like that'll be his dying words.
And I'm in Bryn Shander. So
did he say he was with anybody?
I had limited amount of words, and he just sort of rambled about how much he doesn't like you and that, yeah, he's a Bryn Shander, but don't tell you. But he had a limit of 25 words. I couldn't really eat it.
Can you do it again?
Not until I sleep.
Well, it's not like we can get there immediately anyway. So let's go find some place to post up for a bit.
Did the White Lady Inn survive? Was that a place we visited before?
Great memories of this place. I would definitely like to try the sheets.
We head to the White Lady Inn.
Fine dining. The Search for the Most Mediocre Restaurant in America is a podcast hosted by comedian Michael Ornelas, documenting his hilarious journey to try every national chain restaurant he can find and evaluate whether or not they're the perfectly in the middle 5.00 out of 10 dining experience where bad becomes good.
Head over to linktree.com/fine-dining-podcast and click Bees to enter a giveaway for an all-expenses-paid trip asterisk to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10. For you and up to three of your friends. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode of Fine Dining.
$50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee's gift card.
Ooh, that's a good price.
You arrive at the White Lady Inn, and it's busy, bustling. The town was just on high alert. They're not really charging for anything right now. They're just sort of handing out drinks to patrons as a means of comfort and support.
Oh, hell yeah. I immediately go to the bar, Durgar over my shoulder and all, bleeding profusely.
So you approach the bar with a Durgar slung over your shoulder, and there's a man tending bar there. He's very harried, very busy.
Ooh.
And he's slinging.
Harried or hairy? Because
could be both.
Erastus could be interested in hairy.
¿Por qué no los dos?
Well, since he said that, he's hairy. He's a big, hairy man with very muscled forearms, and he's slinging ale to all the patrons. He turns to you, heedless of the Durgar on your back, and he says briskly, what can I get for you, gent?
Many drinks.
What does that mean? I don't have time. Here's two. And he slams two beers down in front of you, and he moves the fuck on.
Perfect. I start knocking those bad boys back.
Great.
I'm replenishing fluids.
I order a libation, sit down at the bar to drink it, and I pull out my gossiper's diary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
I forgot.
And this is going to – I'm definitely going to suffer a curse, but it only lasts an hour, and then I'm going to do a nap, and it's not, like, damaged. It just, like, makes me sad. I remember the names Jags and Dante, who are the new troop members that my parents hired, who then kidnapped them and are essentially trying to infiltrate to get to me.
Okay.
So I want to write down Dante. So I would like to know maybe their motivation, something that would point to why they are doing this.
For a moment, you lose complete awareness of your surroundings because you're distracted by a thought. And it's almost like your own memory. It's Dante presenting to a woman, his wife, a small pouch containing medicine. She's amazed, and she says, how did you come by this?
Ooh.
This is gonna save us. He says, it doesn't matter. All that matters is our family. And that's all you get.
Okay.
Now you need to roll a DC 19 charisma save or suffer an insecurity for an hour, a little baby curse.
Oh, fuck yeah. I passed it. That is 18 plus 4. So I'm good. I don't take any curse.
As you close the book, you feel a tug of guilt, but you shrug it off easily. This isn't the first time you've done spying.
I'm going to make my way to the reception area and see if I can secure a room with an ensuite bath.
In the midst of a humanitarian crisis?
I'm sorry.
cleanliness is next to godliness. And I'm literally standing next to an alleged demigod.
Wait, so canonically is acid splash, is that like an AHA or a, like a BHA or is...
TCA?
I imagine acid splash is part of your like exfoliation routine.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason I'm so liberal with it. That and the oil of slipperiness is like my moisturizer.
It's a very magical skincare routine.
Mm-hmm. Erastus, you speak to them and they say, look, we're in the middle of a crisis right now. An ensuite bathroom, I just don't think it's possible.
Well, if you don't have something with an ensuite bathroom, I do have some friends with me, so I'm happy to take whatever suite you have, your nicest suite, if there's like multiple beds or whatever, that would work as well. And I pass them 2 gold.
Great, and roll persuasion.
21.
The person is about to tell you no, but as you slide 2 gold pieces towards them, they say, you know, we might have just the spot. But you guys can share, right?
Yes.
You know what? I'll hook you up with our imperial suite.
Oh, that sounds magnificent.
It's got an ensuite bathroom and a servant's quarters.
Perfect.
Somebody's getting the servant's quarters.
And they hand you a key.
Sweet. And can I go up? Can I go get in the bath?
Yes. Yes, amid the chaos at the bar, Erastus takes his leave.
Yeah.
Walks upstairs. The hallways are also chaos. People in here are behaving like refugees.
Is there a way to call for room service?
Yes, when you get inside, there's a little bell.
I'm going to have a bubble bath and a snack.
Good for Erastus.
The town is burning around you.
Priorities, my good DM. Priorities.
Great.
Here's the thing. I know that I can face any catastrophe better. You know, the fresh blowout.
Yes. So yeah, Erastus retires and takes a lovely bath and calls for room service.
After I finish chugging my second drink, I would probably see if I can find a way to join him. I'm assuming the rest of the party's still down here.
Are you going to bring... Ooh. Tori, when you come up to the room, are you going to have that Duregard with you as I've just gotten out of the bath?
I would.
I think that I'm feeling very refreshed and we should question the Duregard.
The fact that you implied that it was just out of you got out of the bath, like first I was like, are you going to seduce them? But second I was like, are you going to waterboard them?
Oh, I actually have done that before.
Okay.
In real life, not in game.
Worse?
That's more concerning. Ryan, you know that's more concerning, right?
It was consenting.
I'm glad that you didn't violate the Geneva Convention.
What happened? Sorry, I had to. What a miss.
Ryan just confessed to some light consensual waterboarding.
Oh, okay. That's kind of hot.
Jesus Christ.
The thing is that I have so many fun tools. I have like all sorts of supplies and tinker's tools and thieves' tools and woodcarver's tools, which are very, very pokey and sharp. And since Duregard is so perfectly tied up, I feel like we should poke it.
I'd have to take a nap first.
You can do whatever you're doing. This is Tori and I's time.
You can take a nap at the same time.
Yeah. Okay.
Martha is horrified and goes back downstairs for a drink.
Well, hold on. No, wait. Can one of you do that truth thing?
I can't until I sleep. I have no spell slots left.
All right. I will cast Zone of Truth.
Yay.
Why you gotta waste a spell slot when I have all sorts of pokey tools?
Listen, the spell just makes sure that they're not lying to us.
Yeah, it doesn't make them tell you.
I cast Zone of Truth. I create a magical zone that guards against deception.
So the Duergar has one shot to resist your spell. Otherwise, he has to tell the truth. What's the number to beat?
16.
I will say that everybody within that 15-foot radius has to make a charisma saving throw, not just the Duergar.
Sweet.
Are we all in the same bedroom? Did we just get one room?
We got a suite. Erastus bribed a man to get us a suite.
Yeah. Why do you think I smell of honeysuckle and sandalwood?
Sounds really nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have no secrets, so you can zone a truth me. I honestly would love for you to know more of me. And see me and appreciate me. So zone of truth away. Have at it. I'm going to try and go to sleep, though.
The Duergar rolled a 2 and has a -1. So
wow.
That's a 1. It has no interest in lying to you at all, evidently.
Perfect. Tori got a 12.
Oh, Tori's got to tell the truth.
20.
7.
20, not natural.
Erastus and Gentry save. So, how would you like to question this little guy?
I don't care what you want to learn from this Duergard. I'm just here for the torture.
Okay.
So I'm going to unroll my tools and start. I think we're going to do something pokey under the fingernails.
I'm going to set the Duergard down on the floor and crouch next to them as Erastus begins to unravel his tools from, I'm imagining, like one of those like rolled up.
Exactly.
Fabric. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
He starts unraveling his various implements of torture. Mm-hmm. And I say, hey, guy, listen. He's gonna do whatever he wants to you regardless of what happens. But the quicker you tell us everything we want to know, the quicker it stops.
I walk over to the fireplace and start heating the end of my pokey item.
So how about you tell us everything that you know about what's his face? It starts with a Z. Hold on, I'm going through my notes.
Zadarak.
Zadarans?
Zadarak.
Zadarak. Zadarans.
Spass it up.
Zadarans.
Zardarak.
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 Yeah, I think...
We'll get there eventually.
Gentry Rose is saying this, like, from her bed that she's trying to just, like, sleep in, because I have 19 out of 54 hit points, so we're tired.
Okay, what do you want to know?
Everything. Who is he? Why did he want to make a Shardalan dragon to destroy the 10 towns?
Are there more Shardalan dragons?
Yeah.
He's our leader.
What does he look like?
He's old and...
Does he look like you? Is he a Duergar?
Yeah, yes, yes.
Start from the beginning.
So the night fell up here and Zardarok summoned us. And he said that Deep Duera... our god told him that now is our moment to seize control of the surface. And so for 2 years, we've been collecting Shardalan. It has become Zardarok's single obsession, and we made a dragon out of it. It was supposed to destroy everything.
Was pretty fragile, turns out.
All right, now Gentry's intrigued, I guess, and she's like, well, where were you making it at? Where's your headquarters that you're doing this at?
Was it Dugan's hole? It looked like it was Dugan's hole.
He's resisting. He doesn't want to tell you.
Go for it, Erastus.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to slide a needle under his fingernail.
There's a fortress. There's a fortress.
Where's the fortress?
Do you have a map?
Gentry gets her map out.
He shows you exactly where it is. And it is in the mountains to the south. The fortress is there.
Tell me how to get in. And I slam another needle under his nails.
Is your fortress built as well as your dragon?
Good question.
I do high five, Martha.
Besties.
Ooh, you can probably get in through the chute.
The chute?
The chute the dragon came out of.
Tell me how to defeat you and all of your people. What is your weakness? What is your kryptonite?
I can't believe you went from torture to genocide that quickly.
If I remember correctly, people like this are not a big fan of the sun. So bright lights tend to be their downfall.
And garlic and wooden stakes.
I want to hear it from his mouth.
Yes, it's sunlight.
Are you why this land is cursed?
Please, I'm just a mechanic. I didn't curse anything.
I rip off a toenail.
Jesus Christ!
I'm sorry, I'm listening to the Joe Abercrombie books right now. If you're not familiar, it's a lot of torture.
It's really giving you a hard edge.
You know.
All right, so as far as you're aware, you guys didn't have a backup plan. It was Shardalan dragon or bust.
We didn't think we'd need one.
Well, it only took about 5 assholes to take it down, so.
You guys must be very powerful assholes.
The most powerful assholes in the 10 towns.
Yeah, it's actually pretty accurate.
How do we lift the curse that keeps this land cold?
I don't know. Kill a god.
On it.
Would a demigod work?
No. No.
It sounds like the Frost Maiden thing, the Aurel thing, is not related to their Deep Duara or whomever. This is actually probably a boon for them, considering there's hardly any sunshine anymore.
Yeah.
Hence the whole trying to invade the surface world thing. No, it's all coming together. I'm getting what you're saying. We will have to probably genocide your people, though, so that's rough.
Come on.
Yeah, what's your kryptonite?
Chocolate.
Chocolate.
He just can't resist it.
The only thing that can beat us is the sun.
Okay.
Did you have a local hideout? We know that you guys were meeting some people here a couple of days ago for a final handoff.
I wasn't part of that, but the ferry, the East Haven ferry, that was the meeting that Nildar missed.
Yeah, we killed Nildar.
He doesn't respond.
Gosh, we have been a little genocide-y, huh?
Are you friends with Nildar?
Yeah, we were close.
What's Nildar's role in this whole scheme?
He was going to rule a part of the Dale once we had taken control of it.
Ah.
He and Dearth, Zardarok's other son, would be surface rulers.
Where is Dearth and how do we kill him?
I don't know, but probably the same as you've killed every other fucking Duergar you've come across.
I'm sorry, you were just trying to light multiple towns on fire. Let's not get all high and mighty here, Mr. Fire-Breathing Dragon, to destroy the world.
You built a Shardalane dragon.
Yeah, there's no moral high ground here. We're torturing you. You've killed countless innocents. It's all equal. Listen, earlier today, one of your friends stabbed me in the hand. We have no sympathy.
We're not friends.
Doesn't matter.
That was today.
Is there anything else that anybody else wants to ask this guy? I don't know, before we kill him? I don't know what we're going to do with him.
Do we have to kill him?
No, no, you don't. Nope.
I was going to like maybe heal him a little bit and make him like a cult member of myself. Make him worship me.
What?
Yeah, make him like.
What did you just say, Gentry?
Maybe just heal him a little bit and like make him devout to me and anything I like want to do and control him. But like, because he wants to. I don't know.
This is coming out way of left field for you. When did we start making a cult
well,
now?
Yeah, yeah. An idea I'm kicking around. I don't know. I just figure like I am a demigod, whether or not you guys believe it.
Go lay down.
Maybe I heal him.
You're looking for some demi followers?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I lean over to Martha and I'm like, is she lying or is she telling the truth?
Oh, honestly, I think she's a little upset because we haven't been humoring the whole demigod thing.
Yeah. The cult stuff is new. I'm kind of worried about it.
Well, I say cult, I mean devoted following of people who worship me.
Ding dong, there's a little knock at the door.
Ooh, room service! I scamper to open the door.
You open the door and the person who stands there doesn't say a word, hands you an envelope. You look down at it.
Oh no.
This isn't a grilled cheese and tomato basil soup from the kids' menu.
And when you look up, they're gone.
Oh no.
I open the envelope.
It's a letter for you.
I think we're all here and just saw Aras get a letter.
I'm sorry, my shoulders are broad.
I'm gonna make you roll to see that, yeah.
You are not seeing what's happening on the other side of my broad shoulders out into the hallway. And aren't you supposed to be laying down right now, Gentry?
I keep sitting up because it's intriguing.
I'll put it in the chat for Ryan. You guys can all take your headphones off.
Earmuffs.
Yes.
Yeah, give us a thumbs up when we're good.
Yes. All right, earmuffs, everybody.
The letter says, very cheesily, "And it pleased thee, my liege, thy humble servant, dost entreat thee to hustle thy regal derriere to a private locale at midnight this very eve, that I might demonstrate some perks of royalty that I fear you mayest have forgotten. I owe you your proper due, and lots of it. Choose your favorite location. I'll find you. Come alone and hydrate. Malachi."
Un-earmuffing.
I wanted to do bad lip reading so badly, and all I saw was like, Papa do, Papa do, Papa does.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of I Seduce the Dragon. The next episode will be out in 2 weeks. If you cannot wait, head over to patreon.com to join for early and ad-free episodes. All links will be in our bio and show notes. And if you just can't get enough of my semi-dulcet tones, on May 8th, head on over to HILF, which is History I'd Like to Fuck, to hear me learn about the bandit Jesse James.